Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you here. On a Monday night, we've got the Chargers and the Cowboys, 1.5-point line in favor of Dallas on the road. Total for this game right now, 50.5. A flat 50 appearing in a couple of spots there. This 1.5-point line holds steady. Your best money line price, if you wanted to bet Dallas, would be minus 120. If you wanted to bet the Chargers, it would be plus 105. We're going to talk some more Major League Baseball in a moment here on the show. But before we do that, I want to spin it over to Davis Maddock. Gets us a same game parlay for Chargers Cowboys.
All right, guys, we are back for another same game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys traveling to play against the Los Angeles Chargers. A revenge game for Kellen Moore. Unfortunately, the Chargers are not a very serious NFL franchise. Cowboys aren't really either, but we are going to begin by taking the Cowboys on the spread here, -1.5 points. Also going to take the over on 50.5 points. The Cowboys are dealing with some pretty serious defensive injuries. The Chargers are getting Austin Eckler back. I think that things are going to trend up both in points scored and in pace tonight. We are also going to add Tony Pollard as an anytime touchdown scorer. The Cowboys have been woefully inefficient in the red zone, running 86 plays inside the red zone, 20 more plays than any other team in the NFL. They barely scored on those plays. I am calling a reversal in that trend tonight. Then we are going to go deep and add Quentin Johnston as an anytime touchdown scorer for the Chargers. He had a touchdown go off his hands against the Raiders. Josh Palmer is going to be playing banged up in this game. The Chargers had their bye week to integrate Johnston into the team plan. I feel pretty good about all of his props tonight against the Cowboys. And then we are also going to add Tony Pollard over 69.5 rushing yards in this contest. The Chargers love to invite teams to run against them, and I think an explosion game is coming for Tony Pollard. This gives us a massive same game parlay of +2,418 odds. The Dallas Cowboys on the spread, over 50.5 points. Tony Pollard, anytime touchdown score. Quentin Johnston, anytime touchdown scorer. Tony Pollard, over 69.5 rushing yards. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, appreciate the breakdown there from Davis Maddock on tonight's game. Radio audience joins us throughout. We appreciate all of you who are tuned in across the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM, Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh here with you on Game Time Decisions. Phillies Diamondbacks is coming up tonight. Over 7 is the bet that I played in this game. We've also got the other game live right now, and I want to make a quick point on this game here, and we'll carry that then into Philadelphia and Arizona. So game number one, if you were handing out an MVP for the game, you'd probably look at Montgomery or you would look at Tavares. Tavares in the 9-hole went 2-for-2 in that game with a home run, had a walk, was great for Texas. He comes up today, he gets another base hit in this game, actually got a triple, also secured another walk. He has been, I think it's fair to say, so far, Texas's best hitter. In this game, RBIs coming for a couple of people, but no other multi-hit games outside of a Marcus Semien 2-for-4 performance so far in this spot. Tavares, though, right? If you look at your pre-ALCS odds, not even a guy you would consider. Think about the NBA Finals, right? Let's just say if the NBA Finals was going to be Bucks-Lakers. LeBron, 80, Giannis, Lillard, that's it. Middleton bets are a waste of money. D'Angelo Russell bets are a waste of money. It's going to one of those four guys. Baseball's way different because it is just going to be anywhere between four and seven games, and that's your sample size, right? You know, Jordan Montgomery was great. What if Montgomery doesn't pitch again in this series? He might not. He might not. Maybe the next game we see Montgomery is five. We don't know if this series is going five. The Rangers haven't lost yet in the postseason. The idea is, it would have been Corey Seager, but Seager's been fine so far in this game. Nothing great, nothing special. He was the favorite heading into today's game. So I bring that up because as we get set for this NLCS and your favorite is 4-1 Bryce Harper, why? I mean, Bryce has been great, but is there value on Bryce Harper on that number? I don't really think so. I mean, Bryce Harper has the best career hitter-pitcher history against Zach Gallen. If you value that like I value that, Bryce can have a big night tonight, and that sends you on your way. But this is one of those, it matters so much what happens. I think you can always catch these numbers live in the championship series. We've got ourselves the Phils as a minus 178 favorite in the series, plus 150 on Arizona. What I do appreciate are countless opportunities there for everyone to get involved with, most strikeouts. Will there be a complete game, a grand slam? What I'll say quickly on the strikeout market, you look at it, it's Wheeler 2-1, Gallen 2-10, Merrill Kelly, Aaron Nola are the only other guys that are underneath a 13-1 marker, 5-1 on Nola, 4-1 on Merrill Kelly. Wheeler's been more of a strikeout pitcher than Gallen certainly so far in this postseason, so Zach Wheeler at plus 200 does catch the attention. Bothersome for me that we're not breaking down a Spencer Strider number, but it's okay. We knew that that was dead for a little bit. Wheeler, I also feel, and this might is more live to go on short rest, but also what if the Phillies are up in this, Arizona has to go to Gallen in a desperation spot and the Phillies could save Wheeler. So those are the interesting things that we get to see, kind of the ins and outs of the series and how everything is going to play out. I do want to reset quickly, Monday Night Football here, Chargers, Cowboys. Coming up next, we're going to go through some of the market movement of the weekend between both the NFL and college football. But Chargers, Cowboys, three picks in this game for me. My favorite, Dak Prescott, over 22.5 completions. He's hit this in 3 of 5 games so far this season. The Chargers have allowed this to 3 of 4 opposing quarterbacks. One time the Chargers didn't allow this, it's because the quarterback went 20 for 24. If that's how we lose this bet tonight, I'll live with it. Dak's yardage prop tonight, 253.5. The two games he cleared that, he completed 80% of his passes. Dak has not been attacking deep downfield. It's why I was a little bit hesitant on numbers that do pop if you base it off the Chargers defense, which is basically every wide receiver, every pass catcher, over yardage, over longest reception, Dak Prescott over yardage, Dak Prescott over a longest completion. I settled on the over 22.5 completions. I think it's the number. I know it's the number I trust the most tonight. I did play Jake Ferguson over 15.5 yards, though. It's what I felt best about in the Dallas pass game. He's cleared this back-to-back weeks with 20-plus yard catches, and we've seen 3 of 4 tight ends get over this number, with the only exception being the Raiders 2 weeks ago with Aiden O'Connell as their quarterback. Last one, Austin Eckler, over 12.5 rush attempts here. We've seen this cashed by 3 of 5 opposing leagues.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by 1 run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Backs up against this team, with one of those losses being Saquon Barkley, who had 12 attempts in an absolute blowout. And that's one of the keys here for me tonight. Austin Eckler, who had 16 carries in week number one, I think should get a little bit more of the backfield with the return here in this spot on a Monday night. Kelly was not great in his absence. As long as this game is close, and we haven't seen a Dallas game decided by single digits yet this year, we'll see Eckler get some workload. We'll reset the markets next right here. Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. Game Time Decisions. On a Monday night, I'm Kevin Walsh. Before we talk about this, Yordan Alvarez will not leave any of us alone, huh? You know, I just did that whole thing about who's going to win the, NLCS and ALCS MVP, and you got to let things play out. Well, spoiler, the Astros are going to win. It's going to be Yordan Alvarez. Why anyone is pitching to this guy is beyond me. He has been on fire to just a completely different degree. He entered today, by the way, if you're someone who believes in hitter-pitcher history against Nathan Eovaldi, a smooth 727 lifetime. 8-for-11 with four extra base hits, including a home run. Tacked one on against Eovaldi, just tacked one on against Aroldis Chapman. It's a 5-4 game. This is what Houston does. They don't go away. If they find a way to come back and win this game, we can just sim to the awful World Series celebration that none of us will want to watch, except for you out there in Houston. It's fine. Let's talk some NFL, huh? So here's what we get in terms of the top five odds to win a Super Bowl. Niners odds drop, which is has to be the most eye-catching thing off of a loss, right? Chiefs sit steady. Birds go back a bit. Bills come down a touch off of a win. Miami sits steady. Here's why I think the Niners odds drop a little bit, because I don't think I disagree with it. The Eagles now are getting set to enter this tough run of games that everybody has been waiting on, starting with a Sunday nighter against Miami. It'll be followed by a game against the Commanders, but then it's Dallas, it's Kansas City, it's Buffalo, it's Dallas again, Seattle. It is a tough stretch for the Birds. So to drop an easy one, supposed to be an easy one, up by double digits in the game, so now you need to close the door on it, it puts the Eagles in a more difficult spot. The other reason, and part of the reason why the Niners can hold here in the way that they are, is the number one seeds are incredibly valuable. And while Kansas City is the favorite to grab their number one seed, the Niners and their division price is incredibly strong, by far the strongest on the board. The Seattle Seahawks lose to Cincinnati. The Rams did handle their business against Arizona, but neither of those two are expected to challenge. There is a chance, I think, the Eagles' number could come down a little bit. Plus 750 maybe goes to 7-1. If Dallas loses tonight, a loss for Dallas not only positions them as 3-3, but it means they are more of an average team. It would mean that the Cowboys have probably lost to the three best teams they would have played. There is a lot on the line tonight for that Dallas group. For Kansas City, a loss for the Chargers kind of confirms what we already know, which is that division is going back to Kansas City. Let's shift through now over to the top five odds inside the MVP market. We talked about who could make a statement to push Mahomes off of his status as the favorite. A spot that I think Mahomes has right now based on reputation more so than performance. And that is not to say that Mahomes has been bad. Plus 350 sitting at plus 340. But Mahomes, compared to his usual self, has not been brilliant. And he's not running away from the league either. Tua and the Dolphins had another explosive game. They put up 42 points on Carolina. You got three passing touchdowns from Tua, I believe it was. And he comes back down to plus 340. Josh comes down a bit.
Look, he had some good plays. He had some bad plays. Another interception on a tip pass. Josh wasn't great, but he'll be there, which is, I think, kind of what we're seeing. Jalen missed an opportunity big time, and his number rightfully does move back here. He goes from 6-1 to 850. When a loss feels like it's on you, that's what starts to really change the conversation. What I'll say for Tua is that loss to the Buffalo Bills, while Tua wasn't great, outplayed by a lot by Josh Allen, the story of that game was, oh, that defense is in Super Bowl quality. It's more an indictment on the Dolphins. But again, the thing with Tua that's tough to get there on for me is I feel like I still want to give the MVP to Tyreek Hill if I had to give it to anybody. Well, I know we're not going to give it to a non-quarterback, but that's what struggles to get me there on Tua. And you might say, there's no way the MVP Purdy guy is telling me that he doesn't believe Tua has enough credibility. Everybody's telling me the thing about is what everyone's saying about Brock Purdy, I'm just returning the favor on Tua Tagovailoa. Although both guys are here for a reason, because it is a quarterback award. Brock Purdy is not done in this race. Brock Purdy had a bad game. What would this number be if the field goal went up, though, and they did win that football game against the Browns, remain the only unbeaten team? Would he be the favorite? No, he wasn't good in the game. But on the road against the best defense in football, in incredibly, in just all the worst weather conditions we've seen this year, and people are waiting to crush Brock Purdy, I think it's ultimately fine. Let's talk some AFC South. We said it was a big weekend in the division. When you had Jacksonville and Indianapolis going ahead, it was going to be one. Minus 120 on Jacksonville, grow stronger with a route victory. Bad job out of me. A preseason prediction that the Colts were going to win that football game. I thought the Colts were going to be live to sweep the season series against the Jags. They didn't do that. They didn't cover, in fact, in either game. Gardner Minshew gets his card pulled, and all of a sudden the Colts' confidence is out the window. Their number comes crashing down to plus 650. The Tennessee Titans see Ryan Tannehill leave early for their game in London. They're going to hit a bye week, but Tennessee could be finished. 2-4. If they go to Malik Willis or Will Levis, I don't trust anything they bring to the table. Bang, bang, boom. The Texans are for real. Told you preseason, it's true. At minimum, they are the second best team in this division. If you, like me, bet preseason Houston 10-1s, let's take some patience. But we might be able to grab a little bit of Jacksonville and let this be a two-team race and lock in some money. But also, an injury to Trevor Lawrence, I think is a good chance is going to keep him out of a Thursday nighter up against the New Orleans Saints. It's going to push the Saints to favorites in the game. Jags would turn to C.J. Beathard. We don't know fully how long Jacksonville would be without Trevor Lawrence. After the game against New Orleans, they'll play a Sunday night game against Pittsburgh on the road and then hit their bye. Maybe the Jaguars are without Trevor for 2 weeks. Could create opportunities for the Texans. I'm going to sit steady. Let's quickly get over to some college football. We've been talking about it throughout this show here today. Washington gets the big win, 36-33. Game of the week, lived up to it. One of the best games of the season. Michael Penix versus Bo Nix. The takeaways for me, Oregon's the better team. If the game was in Eugene, Ducks might have won by double digits. But it wasn't. It was in Washington. And some bad luck, some bad play calling, and some unfortunate decisions that didn't go their way cost the Ducks this game. And it cost them a lot in the futures market as well. National title odds, Heisman odds, all now are starting to shine more favorably on Michael Penix Jr. as well as the Washington Huskies. I don't think Bo Nix was bad in the game. He threw for over 300 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, moved a little bit. But they lost. And if the college football playoff is going to be the standard to get in, then Bo Nix probably doesn't have that chance. A lot of people will believe that Penix Jr. can. Here's the plus 950 number on Washington that now pushes them well within that race. Oregon's number goes all the way back to 33-1. Look at USC. My goodness, they have one loss. Haven't lost in conference yet. Everybody is done with the Trojans. I do not think USC, at their best, can win a national championship. I think Oregon could, at their best, win a national title. I'm not sure about Washington. But I do believe USC actually could still get to the college football playoff. It would likely be as a two-loss Pac-12 champion, which I'm not sure a two-loss Pac-12 champion gets there. But does a two-loss Pac-12 champion, Caleb Williams, win a Heisman Trophy? I've not jumped in on Caleb's Heisman price, but I know that I was at minimum right, and clearly a lot of you out there agreed that when they popped this number back at 50-1 off of the loss, it was a whiff, it was a mistake, because Caleb Williams' Heisman price has continued to come crashing down. You see us flashing a 35-1 there. Caleb Williams is actually already down to 30-1. I think Bo Nix has been moved back a little too far, but ultimately not enough for me to push in. Look, the big thing is, it's a Pac-12 quarterback at minus 140. Is the Pac-12 going to win this?
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, with a quarterback that doesn't make the college football playoff, UW is plus 115 to make the CFP currently. You trust Washington, there's a couple of ways to get to it without Penix Jr. winning the Heisman Trophy. Joe Lisi is back after a quick break on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe Lisi back with us here on Game Time Decisions to break down tonight's game between the Cowboys and the Chargers. I'm Kevin Walsh with you here on Sports Grid. Joe, who, of course, on College Football Today and Pro Football Today, lining this game up. Talk to me, Joe. What do you think side or total for Monday Night Football?
I think it's tangy, Kevin. I'm going to use your words. You thought last night was tangy. I think this is the game that potentially has all the juice with Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert. I am on Dak Prescott to bounce back from that pitiful performance last Sunday night where they got blown out in terms of San Francisco. Secondary receivers, I think Brandon Cooks breaks out. And how about potential value in terms of anytime touchdown? Quentin Johnston, 3-1 to potentially score a touchdown. Josh Palmer is plus 290. And if you're looking at the Dallas side as well, I still like Dak Prescott at plus 490 to take this game on his shoulders. So I think it's points aplenty. I lean to Dallas, but I like those players.
There's a couple of good spots there. I think both. Like, I was initially going to bet Cooks and Gallup over their numbers. I pulled back. I don't know if I want to over-invest, but I certainly think those numbers are live there. Total's interesting here, Joe, in this spot, 50.5. I think it's going to be on the Chargers to make sure that they do push the Cowboys in terms of this total. I think Dallas will have no problem responding if LA's offense does show up here off of the bye week. Look, this is a fascinating coaching matchup. Two guys I certainly don't trust in Brandon Staley and Mike McCarthy, Joe.
No, me neither. So why trust either of them? Let's just take points, right? We have two potential quarterbacks. We know at times Dak Prescott's turnover prone. It's back-to-back road games. Again, my mindset is this. I know how bad he was last week. You got to believe that he's going to be itching to get back onto the football field and at least make amends for last week, right? Dallas has been hearing all week how great San Francisco was, and look at what happened to the 49ers yesterday in Cleveland. This is a potential bounce-back spot, so I'm looking for the offense to push tempo. And on the flip side, even though Austin Eckler's back, and we know that he drives the bus, he could still catch the football. Justin Herbert could utilize him in the short to intermediate passing game. Micah Parsons, that front seven, are going to look to take away the run. So I say game on. Let both quarterbacks cook. Let them throw it 40, 45 times in this ballgame.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I got Dak over the 22.5 completion. So if he throws a 45.
Keep an eye
if he throws
out.
A 45.
Yeah. Yeah, I know 45 times would be great. His security blanket is always the tight ends. So Jake Ferguson could be live as well. And tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I was thinking about that game last night. And I understand that the Giants were a lot handcuffed in terms of what they had from an offensive perspective. But I feel like Buffalo played down to them by running the football so much with Latavius Murray and James Cook. I mean, there were times that, you know, Josh Allen, even though we turned the football over, he only threw it a limited amount of time. That cannot be for the Dallas Cowboys or Chargers tonight. They both need to push tempo.
I agree totally. Look, I thought we saw Buffalo last night certainly play down, and I thought the Giants let them off the hook with conservative play calling. That's inexcusable. Look, you're a 15.5-point dog, play to win the game. That field goal was a disgrace from Brian Daboll, and I know you were lighting into him, Joe, and rightfully so. He's been bad this year. No two ways about it. I don't think he deserved to win the Coach of the Year last year. I personally thought it should have been Shanahan. I know you thought Pete Carroll. It's been an ugly season for Brian Daboll. It's been an ugly season from the Giants. I'll tell you another team it's not been a good year for so far. That's Tennessee Titans. And I bring them up because there has been some reporting in the last 20 minutes or so here that Tannehill suffered a high right ankle sprain on Sunday. This coming from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. With the bye week coming up, it helps. But he could miss some time. So here's my question to you, Joe. If you're the Tennessee Titans, are you going to Will Levis or are you going to Malik Willis and why?
Well, I think, we saw Willis struggle. I would give Willis one start because in the preseason he was a little bit more consistent and it is his second year. So if we're given big picture for Tennessee to potentially have a shot to win the AFC South and more importantly crack a wild card, I would give the edge to Willis. Now, if he fails like he did miserably last year where he wasn't prepared or ready for the big stage, then you could always fall back on Will Levis. But the bottom line, Kev, and we talked about it on Pro Football Today yesterday, what is the identity? You have potentially the best asset on your offense, Derrick Henry, and you're underutilizing him. That offense was built around Derrick Henry and the rushing attack. They're not running the football. Even though Henry had a huge run, it came too little too late. Why aren't you feeding them the rock 30 times a game and then working off of play action? I just don't understand. So their offensive identity is much like his mentor, Bill Belichick in New England. They have no speed, no offensive identity. Outside of D-Hop, they have nobody. I mean, Nick Westbrook, he was good at Indiana. He wasn't elite. We're not talking about Cheetah, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. We're talking about a secondary wide receiver, and he's potentially the second best option on that offense. I know Treylon Burks hasn't panned out up until this point. But come on now. What are we doing? It's all on Vrabel.
I think this was I didn't like them coming into the year. I thought the first 4 weeks were difficult. I was curious if Tannehill could be benched for performance. It ends up an injury. Tannehill's not played great, kind of regardless. This offensive line is not going to hold up for Will Levis or Malik Willis. I think this is now going to transition into a lost season here for Tennessee. I want to see if teams come calling on Derrick Henry and if the Titans are willing to part ways. The first game out of the bye is going to be Atlanta, winnable. It's a Thursday nighter on the road against Pittsburgh, but I believe we're already past the deadline at that point. Does a home loss to Atlanta, let's assume it's Malik Willis, does a home loss to Atlanta end the year on Tennessee? Could they be trading out? Impacts the AFC South because all of a sudden then you can just talk Colts who are on a backup quarterback already. You can talk Texans. You can talk Jags. Jags, look, you were right about that team. They handled their business against the Colts, but they're now catching 3 Thursday night against New Orleans because it's likely that Trevor Lawrence is out of the game. Saints burned you a little bit on Sunday. Do you feel that could be a bounce back spot for them already taking ahead a look here against C.J. Beathard on a Thursday night at home?
I think Beathard could play well within the scheme. And the biggest thing that we talked about as well is how good the offensive line is playing for Jacksonville. They're running the football much more consistently than they were, 3 weeks ago. So Tank Bigsby, Travis Etienne, that offensive line are gelling. There's cohesiveness. All C.J. Beathard has to do is work off of play action, and we know that he's a veteran. So I don't think they'll miss that much in terms of the offensive perspective. New Orleans was absolutely, and we watched that game driving home from Atlantic City. absolutely atrocious. Derek Carr throws for 331 yards. They get inside the red zone, and that Dennis Allen and that offensive staff have a second and three inside the 20. They run it. They have a third and three inside the 20. They run it. Then he throws a 1 yard screen pass. I mean, come on with the play calling. I mean, put the ball into your quarterback's hands. I have no confidence in New Orleans right now. That game proved everything to me. I'm taking it with Peterson. Much better head coach, much better overall offense.
Yeah, that's one of those. Like, it was initially 1.5 in terms of Jacksonville. Is Lawrence 4.5 better than Beathard? Yeah. But also, does this number become 3.5 if they confirm Lawrence is out? Probably. So if you like Jacksonville, you wait. Here's another performance that is going to end up going under the radar. If I told people that the Dolphins beat the Panthers 42-21, they'd say, hey, look, Miami's offense is electric. It is what it is. You know, you can't blame Carolina too much. The game was 14-0 Carolina. You pick your head up, and it is 35-14 Miami. The Panthers are 0-6. They're the only winless team in the league. This is an awful, awful job in Carolina right now. I don't want to hear excuses. Look, again, teams are always bad, Joe. You cannot be up 14-0 and go into the locker room down 21-14. Pathetic out of the Panthers yesterday. Pathetic.
Pathetic hire with Frank Reich. I'll say it again. I mean, I don't think he was deserving of the job, to be honest with you. And I understand he was a quarterback earlier in his career, at the end of his career, but when they just started the franchise. But that makes... That does not dignify him having that coaching job. He coached down Indianapolis after he led them to a wild card with Philip Rivers, and they lose to Buffalo in the first round. What quarterback did he develop? He didn't develop Jake Eason. He didn't develop Sam Ellinger. He drafted both of those guys that weren't even good enough to be backups in the NFL. So why do we have him calling plays for Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner, and a quarterback that completed 69% of his passes, threw for 8,000 yards in college, and basically 70 touchdowns? Can you explain that to me? He is a part of the Vic Fangio school of offense. They shake when they have to call two passing plays in a row. Eberflus, Reich, you want to go Vrabel, Belichick. It's like, I don't know what's going on. It's like they start to shake when they have to be aggressive from an offensive perspective. I would fire Frank Reich. I think he's done a terrible job.
I think he's done a terrible job. I don't think they're going to fire him, but I think...
Chop him!
If this... All right, he's out. He's out. That's Joe Lisi. Joe, we appreciate it. Dave Sharapan steps up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your...
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you on this Monday night. Stepping in, good old Dave Sharapan, the Consig. Consig, how you doing here? It's a Monday night.
I'm great, K-Dub. Great to see you. By request, Freeze said, wear the Philly stuff because he's a big Philly fan. So he said, you know, put on Philly gear. Yeah, that's what he said. So, you know, we're trying to follow instructions. We're here. And I don't hear anything but you. So that's all I want to hear anyway right now. So we're good.
Yeah. All right. As long as you can hear me, I'm trying to move a couple items around, see if we can get ourselves situated appropriately here. Yes. Consig, do me a favor. You'll be ahead of me. Are we done in this game number two between the Rangers and the Astros or what?
We are not. There's two out in the bottom of the ninth, and Altuve just
over.
Apparently flew out. It's over. Texas,
oh, it's over.
Wins both road games. Oh, okay.
Not dumb. Bad.
Okay, dumb.
Unbeaten in the postseason.
About
what do we? Rangers would have home field advantage over the Phillies, by the way. I know that's an early thing to say, but it's one of those things because those teams finish with the same record. You just want to keep it in mind. Okay, it does make the difference.
Yeah.
Let's see what your updated World Series prices are, because these numbers do move, which I always appreciate it right now. Let's take a look here. I saw plus one. Plus 110. Yeah. So that's been the number actually for a couple of innings now. So a lot of confidence that they were going to close that out. So 7-1 on Houston. Buyback on the Astros. How much do you think is going to come in that direction, Dave?
Do we know, is Scherzer going in game three? Is this the word?
I think that's the plan.
That is the plan.
Would you throw him?
I don't know, K-Dub. You know, we get
would you hold him to game four or you like him in game three?
Oh, I think you go for – if he's capable of giving you a minimum of five, I think you go with him and you go for the jugular. Because they keep getting a lead. That's been the recipe. They've been on the road. They get a lead and they keep it, which is exactly opposite a lot of times when they had a lead and a bullpen blew the leads. Bullpen has been excellent so far in the postseason. So you take the regular season stats – throw them out. The postseason baseball is different than any regular season stuff. You can have trends, but trends are your friends until they're not. And then, you know, you watch a team like this catch fire. So I think they go with Maxey. I don't even know what Houston answers with. Javier, maybe.
Javier. Yeah. it'll be Javier. So we'll see. Talk to me in terms of tonight's game here with the baseball. Look, I bet the over. I know.
Oh no.
I played over seven though. I don't know what you thought. I don't know what you think of the total. I don't know what you think of the side. I know you're all Phillies'd up, but this is a spot for me. Gallen's been worse on the road. We'll see if that comes in tonight. Phil's averaged over almost six runs a game over the last 2 years at home in the playoffs. So I took the over the seven because Wheeler's actually been worse at home. And there's a lot of key guys tonight in the lineup for Arizona with good numbers career-wise against him.
Very good. I like that. I got a weather report from somebody that's there, said it's not good. It's pretty chilly there. Might be one of those low-scoring games. Strikeout props over. Gallen already won there this season. It's going to be very, very tight. I thought the series both would go six games minimum, American League, National League, both. Texas taking both may mean this one only goes five. I don't know if they go back to Houston. Houston's got to get two games now on the road. They were good on the road. Actually had a losing record at home this season, 39-42.
Yeah.
So this is no surprise, I guess, that they lost both home games. But tonight, I don't know. I have futures on both teams. So I'm good either way. I just want to see if Texas is on the other half, things are looking pretty good over here in the Consig house. Everything's fine. So I'll be watching the game looking for the under. I don't want to tell you that. You know, I don't want to come on your show and have opposite of you all the time. I know you like the juice, but I like the game under 7.5.
No, yeah, I get it. Look, Donnie told me under, and look, I get it. And it might be the right way to play it. It's a low total. If the thing pushes seven, I'll be happy that all of you bet the 7.5, and I'll wipe my hands of it, no problem. I will be focusing, of course, on the game tonight. I did bet the over. There's a big trend building, Dave. I don't know if you've seen this, but yesterday there was a pregame fight in Browns-Niners. That game flies over the total. 35.5, game lands 36, flies over the number. Pregame fight here now in Chargers-Cowboys played over 50. How do you not?
How do you not? Actually, I mean, the primetime unders have been absolute money. I mean, it doesn't even matter who the teams are. It's just been
– they always
just
are.
Just bet the under. You know, every week we go on. Me, tonight it's going to be Wetzel and Taylor. We don't even get a touchdown in the first, you know, the first hour of the show. So – but this one's the exception. I think both teams score. I think they trade scores. I think there's turnovers. I think there's short fields. And you know there's going to be a Staley – you know, moment where he goes for it when he shouldn't, or he doesn't when he should, and it'll leave a short field. So I'm with you tonight, K-Dub. I want juice in the game. I want a reason to turn it on, because last night I was so locked in on the baseball that I didn't turn on the Bills and the Giants until the end, when they couldn't figure out how to get a play in and get a play. I don't even know what goes on anymore. Two things I don't know in the NFL, and maybe you could help me. One, how can clock management be so hard? We could get kids playing Madden to help them with this. That's number one. Then number two, I honestly have no idea what pass interference is anymore. None. I don't know when they call it. I don't know when they don't. I don't know what it is. I thought I knew it, like when you see it. You know it when you see it. I don't even know what it is anymore.
Yeah, the pass interference stuff, look, there was more pass interference on the play they didn't call than the play that put the Giants at the one. That stuff's always a mess.
Yeah.
The play calling and the stuff that we saw last night, again, out of the Giants, was brutal. And I know a lot, like, very clearly with the way that the whole situation played out, Tyrod checked to the run.
Yeah.
And
did this.
Here's the thing about that, though, Dave. Yeah. He did that with, I think it was 14 seconds on the clock.
14, yes.
The ball's on the one. You can run the ball and get another playoff. The problem wasn't the run.
Can you?
Okay. Yes, you can, if you're alert. Instead, Tyrod's looking over to the sideline like, ah, how mad are you at me that I just did that? And then the rest of the linemen are looking around like, I guess we should have maybe tried to block on that play. And say, like, because they almost did get one off. You could have got another play off. I didn't mind the play. Also, Saquon, you did it 100 times last year. Dive. Jump over all of them. Stop trying to barrel in behind Justin Pugh off the couch. Just the whole thing. And also, but again, like, that's not where they lost the game. Ryan Dable's out there kicking field goals like they're going to stop the Bills. I said it last night. They kicked that field goal to go up 9-7. Live odds on the Bills, minus 280 money line. Books knew. Oh, okay, thanks. Bills outright. That's what the book said. They said, thanks, Giants. Bills outright. And they were right. They were right. So we saw how it played out there. It's just some of the decision-making continues to be atrocious. Let's sneak some college football in. Oregon-Washington happens.
Mm.
Look, takeaway for me, I don't know if Oregon can handle the remainder of the schedule, which is a shame, because if we flip locations, I think that's a double-digit Ducks win. I thought Oregon was the better team. They just couldn't capitalize in key spots.
It was a hell of a football game. Really enjoyed it. The back and forth was great. I thought Oregon's decisions and the results, play calls and things like that, led to an opportunity for Washington to win the game, and they did. Penix made the play when he needed to make it. They got the lead, and then it looked like Oregon was going to at least tie it, and they didn't. And now we're left with a team. There's only one team left in the Pac-12 that can run the table and win it. And with their schedule, I don't think Washington is going to run the table. So I just don't think that a Pac-12 team is going to get in with one loss versus, you know, with a team from another conference with one loss. So USC, we saw who they were. Their defense just not up to championship caliber. Notre Dame really laid one on them. I hope you had as much fun watching that game as I did, because that was enjoyable. that was fun. You know the biggest game that's coming up this week, right? Like, if you got an early look at this game, I mean, you know.
Talk to me. USC, Utah. I know what you're thinking.
USC, Utah?
No, Alabama, Tennessee. I'm right.
Not that one either, Kevin.
No, please. No, it can't be. It can't be a Big Ten game.
Kevin.
Please tell me it's not that awful comp.
Kevin.
Oh, he brings the backup hat. It brings a backup hat. The hat plays. What do you want? It's a big game. Maybe. Total's low. As James Franklin saved all of the deep passing plays for this game, you have to ask yourself that. Can I tell you my problem with this game, Dave?
Oh, please do.
It's not that one of these teams is going to win. And we're going to hear about their national title chances.
Why not?
It's that the losing team, we're going to hear that they can still make the college football playoff.
They can't.
I can't. Listen, two teams got in last year out of the Big Ten, and they deserved it. Not right. This year. And I'm already annoyed about it.
But why? What if this is the
because the rest of the conference, because the rest of the conference is an embarrassment.
It is.
It's an embarrassment. Okay. When you it is not an accomplishment that every Iowa total is a record breaker for the lowest number we've ever seen. It's a joke.
It is bad. It is bad. You're right about that.
That's all.
Plus 4.5.
We're not sending.
You taken? Are you taken yet? I mean, like,
I haven't decided yet.
All right.
I haven't decided yet. It's early. It's early. We'll dial it up. It could be a decision that comes down to what bothers me throughout the week, though. It's a who's bothering me the most kind of game type of thing. That's just how it feels early. Question for you on the Heisman.
Wow.
Is Caleb done?
Yes.
I don't think he's done. He can't be done.
K-Dub, his standard is higher because he won it already. He's done.
This is true.
Shot that number up to... Listen, you're more than welcome to come in and take it. You know.
No, what happened is, Dave, they did your move, but then they got a little scared about it. One book popped 50-1.
Yes, they did.
And they went, oh, all right, sorry, 35-1. And then they went, all right, 30-1. Will you leave us alone now? All of a sudden, the books have opened themselves up to Caleb numbers. And you're right, it probably doesn't come in. I don't think it comes in. I didn't think it was coming in preseason. But all of a sudden now people have 50-1s on Caleb. They haven't lost a game in the Pac-12 yet. It's a big number. That's all.
But they have them.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard schedule. They're not done losing. They're not running the table the rest of the season.
But neither is Washington.
This is true.
Minus 140 Pennix. Someone's going to have to win this Heisman Trophy. Someone's going to have to win the NFL MVP, by the way.
Can the kid in North Carolina win it?
He went into last week's game with 8 touchdowns and 4 picks. For reference, Caleb Williams has 23 touchdowns and 4 picks. Dave, we appreciate it as always. We'll get your best bets on the way out.
We are.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close it out. Game time decisions on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. Appreciate everybody who has stopped by over the past 2 hours. We've had Dave Sharapan, Joe Lisi, as well as both Taylor Mathis and Joe Madden. Those two really helped us break down Monday Night Football. Break it down a little bit more. Best bet tonight, Dak Prescott over 22.5 completions. Dak has hit this total in 3 out of 5 starts this year. A lot of folks are going to look to play the over on Dak's yards tonight. Not knocking it. Like it myself. But I feel more confident in the completions because Dak has cleared tonight's passing yards prop twice this year. It's 253.5. In those two games, he completed over 80% of his passes. If Dak decides to open this up tonight, good, great. He'll fly through his yardage, but he'll also crash through the completions number tonight of 22.5, a number that opposing quarterbacks have gone over in 3 of 4 games against LA, the exception being a game where Ryan Tannehill went 20 for 24 because he was so efficient against this team, plus the amount that they relied on Derrick Henry. This also will be the first time Dallas plays what feels like a competitive football game. The closest game that they've played so far this year was up against the Cardinals, and it was decided by 12. The game against the Jets was 30-10. The other games are all being decided by 30 points or more.
get this game, you know, 7 trading both directions, and Dak will fly through the attempts prop, which again helps him go over the completions. Other items on the card, Jake Ferguson, longest reception, over 15 and a half yards, back-to-back games with a 20-yard catch. 3 of 4 opposing tight ends have gone through this number against the LA Chargers defense. On the Chargers side of the coin, we go Austin Eckler over 12 and a half rush attempts. 3 consecutive lead backs have hit this number up against the Dallas Cowboys. Eckler in week number 1 had 16 carries against the Dolphins while sharing 16 carries with Joshua Kelly. More Eckler tonight on the ground against this Dallas team will keep the Chargers in the mix. We go over 12 and a half for Austin Eckler's rush attempts. Also played over 7 in Philly's Diamondbacks because we need some juice. Oh, and over 50 because there was a pregame fight in Chargers Cowboys. Good luck. See you tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the Hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.